Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet, the only podcast that uses cutting-edge science to answer the questions that you actually have. Things like, why is the sky blue, what's up with trees, and how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could in fact chuck wood? I got that wrong, but I don't care. On my left, I have Oz Ismail. Oz is a PhD student in neuroimaging and dementia, a Tinder aficionado, and is a compendium of awkward sexual advice. On my right, as always, I've got Suhail Patel. Suhail is an amazing journalist. He makes incredible videos for the BBC, and he's learning a lot more about science. And you know it, we know it, she's here. We've got Hannah Ayoub. Hannah is an amazing artist, a creative producer, and is the only person I know who is allergic to hypoallergenic dogs. So guys, the world has been all kinds of mad this week, from Brexit. Like, that's not, is that happening? What's going on?
It's been going on for like how many years?
Yeah, I don't know. Now, Elon Musk is going wild on Twitter. He's claiming that nanotechnology is bullshit and it isn't a thing, even though nanotechnology is what gives the technology for his electric car batteries in his Teslas to be powered. So the world's a bit weird right now and we might need to escape. But someone who's already escaping is Oz, isn't that right?
Well, I'm trying to.
Don't leave us.
Yeah. You guys just keep doing stuff to keep me here.
Yeah. Stay.
So Oz, for listeners that don't know, he's currently in the final year of his PhD.
Yes.
And so for the last bit of it, he's going on placement to the US, to Portland.
To Portland, where the cool kids at.
Yeah. And when were you meant to leave?
One thing. In April.
One thing, Ozzy, when you get to Portland, don't say that. Don't say that. It's not going to end well.
Hey, I will be like the cool British guy who everyone will love.
So, like, what stopped you from getting to Portland?
So much paperwork, yeah. So much admin, yeah. Especially, you know, when you have a name like Osama and, you know, extra admin.
Your Al-Qaeda tribute act name. Yeah, I see you. But, like, there's so much tech and science involved in, like, the entire process of traveling by flight. Like when we break it down. So I think today's discussion is going to be that. It's going to be the science and tech of traveling by flight. Yeah.
Let's do it.
It's pretty incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. So do you travel often by plane?
Yes.
Yeah?
Although I haven't been on a plane in over a year, which feels really weird for me.
Yeah?
Like I'm getting like this weird restless feeling.
So where do you normally go?
So I go to Singapore pretty regularly because that's where my mum's family's from. And previously, I've done quite a lot of sort of flying to Europe for short breaks as well.
How about you, man?
Do you know what? Weirdly, I haven't travelled a lot on planes. I would love to, but first of all, I get vertigo, so that's not good. And secondly, I get horrendous.
It's all coming back
now. Horrendously sick.
Okay. So. Okay. So first thing you've got to do is buying your tickets. And that's really, that can be so annoying right now, right?
Thing is, it's so much easier now. You say it's annoying, right? Listen, I remember coming to the UK on a paper ticket book.
Fuck off Paddington Bear.
It's like back in 1922.
I came here with a suitcase, a box, and a paper ticket book, okay?
Oh my God, why are you my dad?
This is when TV was still black and white.
This is actually a true story.
He's part of the Windrush.
Did you have a sign around your neck saying, please take care of this bear?
No, but my dad did have to sign a letter saying that he would take full responsibility for me because I was underage when I came here.
Did you get into jaunty escapades with your foster family?
No, I didn't have a foster family.
Did you have an apprentice for marmalade?
No, none of these things happened.
Fuck off, Paddington. But so you're actually telling me that you come here through paper tickets? Because I don't remember those at all.
Yeah, so basically you used to get a little booklet, mm-hmm. and the booklet had several vouchers with like an electronic magnetic strip on it.
Oh, shit.
So all your information would be stored on that little magnetic strip.
Yeah.
But before that, before my time, there didn't used to be a magnetic strip. So basically it goes...
Well, we just had the railway, innit?
I mean, yeah.
And hot air balloons.
I don't know, because I wasn't born then.
Was there a before your time?
Yes, there was.
Oh, wait. So was that before or after the Industrial Revolution?
I don't remember because I'm so old.
Before or after the dinosaurs?
Ha ha, Oz is old. Oz. Listen, kids. I am telling you to respect your elders, okay? All the cultures you come from, that's a thing. Respect your elders.
You're a beautiful young man, Oz.
Thank you.
Okay, so we've got... So you're talking about these paper tickets, yeah? But right now, we don't have to do any of that because you can just buy stuff on your app.
Right, exactly. So now everything is electronic. So all you need is just your ticket number and all your information is stored electronically. And the actual reason this happened was because turns out it was just to reduce cost. It wasn't actually to save paper. Mm-hmm. Just the IATA, who regulate basically all air travel, they decided a long time ago that paper tickets were just not cost effective anymore.
I don't know what IATA stands for, so I'm going to assume International Air Travel Association.
That's a pretty fucking good guess.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Master of the acronym. We bow before you,
it's
Alex.
Context. Yeah, GCHQ, where you at? Okay, so when you've got paper ticket and then you've gone to an app and you've gone to an app because... you just want to save a bit of money. Mm. Where does that leave the landscape of buying tickets? Like, because right now, everyone uses apps, right? You guys all use like apps to buy tickets, or do you use like the websites? Like
website.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Websites are the best way, isn't it? You've got so many great comparison sites. And
Yeah, but the thing is, the problem with using websites, don't they like, the more you search for stuff on a website, because it saves that information, right?
Mm. Yeah. So, okay. So you've got to clear your clear the cookies because it uses a thing called dynamic pricing. So instead of if you refresh your browser a million times a second, that's not going to make the price go down like some people think. Mm.
Doesn't it drive it up because they know that there's demand for that flight?
Yeah. They're like, oh, lots of people are looking at this flight. We can actually put the prices up. Which is why if you clear your cookies or look at an incognito window, that's a lot better. So you should definitely clear the cookies. So those are the bits of information that's stored on your computer every time you access a website. So deleting those effectively deletes the fact that you have searched for this flight and you'll get a better price. And that applies to car insurance and lots of other things as well, because they all use dynamic pricing.
Wow. But that's crazy, isn't it, that they can just do that? Like, surely, how is that not regulated still? Given that so many people fly now, because flying used to be a thing that only rich people did, right? And now everybody flies. Like, it's become accessible to everybody. How is it not more regulated? Do you know what I mean?
Well, interestingly, in economics, you call that price discrimination. Mm. So it's like the theory of how you charge different people different prices, meant to be like the best, version of the market, because you charge people who can afford more and people who can afford less. But the way you're describing it is it doesn't actually work quite like that. It's like it's
charging people who really want a flight.
Yeah. But that's more demand and supply, isn't it? That's more traditional economics, which is there's high demand for something, there's a finite amount of seats on the plane. So naturally, if they think they can charge more, if there's more value to it, then they'll charge more.
There's high demand, but also I'm poor.
Okay. So, like, okay, so let's say that you've bought your ticket, right? Now, we're going to use Oz's trip to Portland as an example. So, Oz, we finally got your ticket to Portland, yeah? It's great. And then you go to the airport, and then it comes to checking in. So, when you guys go to airports and you're going for an international flight, how much time do you give yourselves?
3 hours minimum.
Agreed.
17 minutes.
No, really.
You've missed your flight already. Like,
how much time do you give yourself?
Nah, 3 hours. And I'm not an idiot.
Exactly. No. We are all people of color in here, okay? This has been ingrained into us, right. I think. Because I've seen people... My favorite brand of YouTube video currently is watching people going for international flights and being told they missed their flight.
That's so sadistic.
It's so funny. It's like, I've got 15 minutes left. No, you can't get through security.
Gate is closed 15 minutes before.
Denied.
Let's say I show up 3 hours minimum. When I'm on the way out of like the UK, that always works. When we're flying back from Singapore, we'll arrive 3 hours early, but then we'll get dragged off to eat and to say bye to all the family. And more than once, we've ended up like running through the airport whilst our names are being called over the PA.
Wait, you bring your family to the airport? No, never do that. You cut ties.
No, you don't have a choice.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They have like a whole escort, like a whole fucking like cabal. Like.
Also, like Changi Airport in Singapore is like practically like a theme park. Like people go there when they're not using the airport part of it. So trying to convince people not to come is really difficult.
We're talking about checking in now. And so, like, I know you can check in. Sometimes you can do self-check-in.
But the thing is, people are trying to push that even further now. So apparently what a lot of companies are now looking at, people who design airports, they want check-in to, like, happen way before you even go to the airport.
Yeah.
So there are, like, some airlines and some airports that are trialing, like, selfie check-ins.
Wait, so like, because right now you can sort of check in before you even get to the airport.
Yeah, but you can check in, but you still have to like
check in.
You still have to check in,
like,
right?
I do it with my dad whenever he goes back and forth to Ghana.
Yeah.
And I always put him on the seat nearest to the toilet. Because I'm passive aggressive, and two, I always give him a vegetarian meal, just because I know he'll get annoyed.
Oh no, you're the worst.
A full child.
I'm not.
You're the worst.
Yeah.
Those are my two favorite things in the place.
What can
toilet?
What can he do? He's at 36,000 feet.
Cabin pressure does stuff to you, man.
And it's fine. So you're saying that we could actually check in using our face?
Yeah, so what a lot of airports and a lot of travel companies, what they want to do is make the queuing much less, because that's the thing that people hate the most, is endless queues. I think we're a long way away from like security queues becoming any sort of quicker, because security is really essential. But there is one company that's actually trying to develop the future of airports, where they believe that there will be ways that you can be tracked from the moment you enter the airport. There will be information on every single person that they can track you, because what they say is 99% of passengers are clean. There's only a small fraction who are trying to do something dodgy or trying to take something dodgy on a plane or smuggle stuff. So we're basically wasting time at the airports, like screening all these people. Usually it's like us to get screened, whatever.
No, it's true. No, because I get screened all the time. It's fucking annoying.
You said that like security queues aren't going to get any shorter, because it's really important. But quite a lot of research has shown that all the security we actually see and all the hassle is just security theatre. So it's not actually doing anything. That anything that might prevent things is happening behind the scenes.
So that's a very good point, because basically, you know, people know that there's security checks. People aren't gonna like deliberately take something on, right? So that if they're gonna do something, they're gonna put it in their hold luggage. But hold luggage goes through so much more screening in the bowels of the airport. Yeah,
I didn't know that. I genuinely thought you could just put all matter of dumb stuff in your bag.
And no, it goes through so much screening. At the moment, so you mean you drop it on the belt, you see it goes through that curtain. And you think it's gone to your plane? No, it goes through so much before it actually hits the plane.
Really?
And it gets like a thorough like screening before they actually let you on the plane. And you don't know that, because your bags have always made it, probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, people, if people put something on there, it's going to get stopped and it's going to get intercepted.
Why are you looking at me when you say that? I'm not smuggling anything.
Alex knows that his bag's always reached. But on the other hand...
Listen, that was one time...
You know, like your bag's got lost your luggage when you're going to, was it Longyearbyen?
Yeah, Longyearbyen. They lost our luggage.
Yeah, lost your luggage.
They lost it.
Air quotes.
And all my... Now, listen, I'll never smuggle anything like that.
So the thing is, this company that's developing the future of airports, they believe that in the future, that's how people will get tracked or security screened, is we'll have information already. So from the moment you enter, there'll be so many different technologies that will be tracking every single person from the point they enter the airport all the way through check-in to the gate. Wow. And in terms of like getting to the gate, there are already several airports, including like Changi Airport in Singapore. They're trialing using biometrics to actually enter the plane as well. Because at the moment, when you get to the gate, most airports, you have to still, once again, show your passport and boarding card. They look at you, they look at your passport, they make sure that you're the same person before they let you on.
Yeah. So you do all that and you're saying that this biometric method, it could just mean you use your body as a...
Basically, yeah, the future of airports is you basically use your you scan your face into this app and you scan your passport. It will match the biometrics on there. Then you get to check in. There'll be another camera scanning your face. It'll print your luggage tags for you. Because like check-in is pretty much already pretty automated and you can do bag drop and everything yourself. There's usually someone there to help you, right? But in the future, it's going to be, you won't have to interact with anybody. You just go through the whole process so smoothly up until you hit the gate.
Oh my God.
In theory,
you're saying that if I get a good seat on the plane and decent flight attendance, it means the only person I'd have to interact with is the person at the gate.
Mm-hmm. Not even at the gate, because the gate will also scan your biometrics.
So the person on the plane.
On the plane, the person who welcomes you on board will be the first person you have to interact with.
Oh my God.
Do you not like interacting with people on the plane?
No, I absolutely love interacting. Of course I hate interacting with people.
Really?
I made a podcast so I could interact with people on grounds that I set, using parameters that I enjoy, and edit the conversation in a way that makes me seem hilarious. And you're saying that,
it's new to me.
Do you just like interaction?
Listen, I like to play Trivial Pursuit with people on the plane, so... That's just
oh, you're
I
that guy who tries to be friends with everyone.
Hi, guys. Does anyone want to play with me?
I just play Trivial Pursuit by myself.
You have to take off your shoes when you're going through security. You've got the x-ray machines that you put your bags through, and you've got the metal detector you've got to walk through, which I always forget to take my belt off for. I know, I'm the worst.
But you should know by now.
I know.
They already can spot us from a distance, okay?
Like, I always try like not to wear an underwire bra and then I forget and take that off.
Yeah, so do you go over there and get patted down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have the same problem.
So...
What's best is if you're traveling like through Dubai airport and you literally have to get taken off to be like patted down a separate area where only women are.
It's like girls' toilets, which are always well nice. And then you come to the boys' toilets. It's like
I've always been treated pretty well, but I know not everyone is.
Yes.
Hey, listen, I'll tell you what happened to me in Spain, okay? I got pulled aside and then they were like, they checked everything. And then they got this swab and they started like swabbing me, including my crotch. And I was like, what the fuck are you trying to like test for on my crotch over my jeans? This is not even an STD.
Oh, really? Like, yeah, I was like, damn. I was like, are you sure you're in the right place? You might be the doctors. They did that to me my first time.
But the funniest thing is like there was this old white couple in front of me and we were going to security and I like they got chatting. So I was like, just watch as I get separated from the group to get checked. And they nervously laughed. They were like, ha, ha, ha. And then as they were swapping me down, I was like, told ya, look, it's happening. And they were so uncomfortable, actually.
It's like, this is prejudice in action.
That's right, we got to understand that every member of this podcast likes to make white people uncomfortable.
I wish this was not a true story, but it happened.
That's so messed up.
Okay. Okay, so when you're going through security, you've got the x-ray machine, you've got taking your shoes off, you've got the metal detector for your bag, but you've also got that x-ray detector machine that does sort of full body scans. Have you guys ever had to use that?
Every single time I get selected for it.
Wow.
Every single time.
That's weird. I've not had that full scan before, but I do agree with you. It is far more difficult. Like, statistically, I'm always more likely to get stopped than people I'm with. And that's actually a serious problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you think they're using like one of the, you know, the Family Guy, like colour swatch chart, where it's like terrorist. Maybe it is like, you know, random check, full body x-ray.
Yeah, completely. But like those x-ray machines, right, they're super interesting.
Go on.
So the UK, before 2010, they trialed this new method of screening passengers. So it's using something called backscatter x-ray. And what it does is it actually allows people who are in there to have this 360 degree view. So you can see like under the clothes as well as like skin and bones. So you can get like full on levels to this.
Wow. Oh, wow.
But what was really interesting, because in 2010, civil rights groups successfully argued here in the UK that body scanning of children contravened the law to relating to child pornography.
Okay.
Because that x-ray image would be creating under the clothes image of a child.
Absolutely.
Also, how long do they store these images?
I don't know.
Because that's another point, isn't it? That you know, it's something that you have to do. Right, but I don't know how many of my images would be stored.
Listen, if you want to see my naked body, all you gotta do is just ask.
Okay, cool. But I've got to move on, otherwise we'll never get there. So these were then switched out. So these this backscatter X-ray machine was switched out for millimeter wave. So the millimeter wave scanners are different because they show any hidden items without actually showing the body of the passenger, which makes them, I don't know, a bit better in terms of civil rights.
Right.
Because it doesn't show your naked body.
So that sounds like a good balance, like security as well as...
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, even when it comes to the safety on like backscatter x-rays, there's so much disagreement on whether or not using it is safe, whether or not people, you know, who have this done repeatedly suffer any detriment. It's really good the scanners they use now aren't these backscatter x-ray ones.
I mean, the one time I had a good experience, right? I was in the queue, security, Reg 32 was in front of me, and my friend was in me, he's like, that's Reg 32. Like, what? That's Reg 32. And I looked, it was Reg 32 and his entourage, like they were all going on holiday somewhere.
Oh, I'm so impressed. My only one is that after security in the check-in lounge when I was going to Ghana, I was flying via Morocco, and I saw Action Bronson. He was on the plane with me. Rapper. Okay. I'm honestly surprised that you know who Reg 32 is. You don't know who Action Bronson is. Sounds a lot like Ghostface Killer. Has a show on Vice where he talks about food.
I will look him up.
Cool. But yeah, no, I was like, oh shit, I'm on this plane to Morocco. And I'm like, oh, if this plane goes down, it's super ricky. I'm like, fuck. It would be cool because I'd die with Action Bronson. I'm like, they'll come.
You won't be alive to tell the tale.
It's fine. I'll be with Action Bronson. But yeah. Okay, cool. So let's say you get through security and then you're at the gate. You get through the gate and then you're on the plane. So when it comes to planes, just what's going on there? Because there are so many different kinds of planes, aren't there?
Yeah, so many. So like the most common, so obviously Boeing and Airbus are the most well-known companies that make planes, and they obviously sell the most number of planes to airline companies. So like the 737 and there's the A320, they're the most commonly used planes, or the most ones you'll find in the sky, I guess.
And like how many people can you fit on a plane? Because I'm pretty sure I've seen planes that have had like 200 people, if not more.
On average, yeah. But now you can get those giant ones, can't you? Those double-decker A380s. Yeah. Which can hold up to 800 passengers.
Whoa. Why would you want that?
It's crazy.
They're amazing. But they're so cool.
They're so giant. The problem is, you fly on one of those and then it takes ages to get your bag because there's fucking 800 bags on the plane.
We'll talk about bags later. okay, so I always think planes are quite interesting in terms of like how they fly it. And for something that big, you're talking like an A380. Mm. Like I can barely parallel park my car. I find it very difficult. So how do pilots fly something that big?
I mean, it's nuts, isn't it? Like, isn't this all air traffic control's job? Because there's so many. Have you guys seen that map that someone made once off the planes that are over London?
Yeah.
So many. Look, so quickly, you can't see London anymore because it just gets coloured in by all the routes.
Yeah. But that's one of my favourite things, is going on to like Flight Scanner or like seeing all that those websites that you can see the real-time maps of planes that are flying. And it's really interesting that all of that is done basically by having a series of air traffic control towers. So like how it works is that you've got air traffic control towers in each sector. They control a different sector of airspace. And when a plane passes through each sector, they get handed on to like the next controller. So you get like this, you know,
They're like tagging and tag out.
Yeah, it's like tag in, tag out, tag in, like a relay race, except that the baton is 200 to 800 people.
It's a big responsibility.
It's a huge responsibility. Yeah.
So what I thought was really interesting is that when you have international waters, like when you're flying over the Atlantic, each country that the Atlantic borders, I think this is true for all international territories, like international waters and stuff, they control their border positions. So the Atlantic is controlled by six countries, all under the International Civil Aviation Organization, the ICAO, their rules. Mm. So you've got the UK, Portugal, Canada, Norway, and the USA and Iceland all controlling different bits. And so you hand over as you travel across various bits, which is so interesting.
It is. It's a real like triumph of diplomacy, isn't it? Yeah.
And you've got to have people who are able to like share information and really understand what's going on. And it, like, I can barely collaborate with three people. Yeah. Imagine collaborating with like 100 on 300 planes.
Yeah,
project.
But then it's crazy. Don't have 800 people up in the sky, Alex. So yeah,
might take it a bit more seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, so like when you're traveling to Singapore, like how do you fly? Like you
what fly route?
Yeah.
It usually depends. So I rarely fly direct because I am poor. So it really depends on where we're changing. But I can picture the route in my head.
Yeah.
But I'm struggling to describe it.
Where does it go? So you go like over.
Let me go sort of over Europe.
Over Europe and then
down to the Middle East. So normally change in Dubai and then across the Indian Ocean.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
What about you, Sal? When you went to Longyearbyen, you went...
We went to Oslo, and then from Oslo we went straight north up to Longyearbyen. They were super short flights, like internal within Europe, so they weren't like long-haul flights. But that was a pretty simple journey, to be fair. That wasn't even complicated.
So, Oz, when it comes to like flying across the Atlantic, they've got something called NATS. So this is the North Atlantic Tracks. Basically, because these zones, like traveling across the Atlantic, that's like really, really packed. It's like the M25 at rush hour.
But that means that there's more control over those regions, right?
Yeah, so there's lots of control, but because there's so many planes and such high demand to travel those routes, they split into these NATs, so these North Atlantic tracks, and they ensure that air traffic control can like separate aircraft effectively, so aircraft don't get too close vertically or horizontally.
Wow.
And so the routes that they choose are sort of based on lots of factors, but one of the main things is the jet stream. And so you guys know what the jet stream is, right?
So is that like the direction of wind?
Yeah, so basically the jet stream is fast-flowing air currents up in the air, I think near the troposphere.
Is that what causes turbulence when you like fly into those things?
Potentially, these lead to tailwinds. And tailwind, as I found out, is essentially wind that just travels from the direction of the tail towards the head. So it's like having wind that pushes you.
Oh, it's like when it's well windy and you put your hands out like this.
I'm not Superman. But picking those routes that have the best tailwinds can lead to flights being able to move faster. And right. So the routes that you pick are more, based on tailwinds. Yeah.
You know what? Because I remember when I went to New York at school, the trip there was fucking ages, and then the way back was at half the time, and we must have been in a jet stream.
Yeah, you might have. Yeah. The jet stream led to a tailwind, which is really cool. But like, you can get the opposite sometimes, which are headwinds, which is just wind flying into the plane.
It's like when you're cycling into the wind or with the wind. You know, it can take you literally half the time to get somewhere.
Mm. So when you guys go on planes, do you ever turn your phones off?
Yes.
Do you? Well, I'm surprised.
I never do.
Always.
I do. The moment the plane pushes back from the terminal, then I switch off. Not when they tell me to. Yeah. Up until that point, I'm on WhatsApp.
I'm normally texting people.
You fucking rebel. Oh, sorry. I'm just too cool for this. Do you know who I am?
Sometimes maybe it's even like taxiing to the runway, but don't tell anyone that.
I never turn mine off. But like, why do we need to turn it off?
That's a really good question. I'm really skeptical.
Do you know what? This is a very good question. So basically, because like all your devices will be giving out sort of electromagnetic waves of different frequencies, this in theory can interfere with the equipment on a plane that is also using similar frequencies.
Mm. So what, like your actual phone signal, then like Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, like
exactly.
All of that?
You know, every device has like all these different types of methods of communication, right? Because there is, it can potentially interfere with those signals. That's why they tell you to switch it off. Right? But
I feel as though there's like a real reason that you're like, this is all bullshit. But the real reason,
the thing is nothing bad has ever happened by someone. Some people have accidentally left their phones on, and it doesn't actually like.
That's happened to me. I've fallen asleep on the plane and just left it on.
Or me and Sahel who keep it on purposely the entire flight.
But the thing is, think about 800 people leaving their phones on, right? No one's like been able to test the effect of 800 phones being on at the same time whilst electronic like stuff is working in the planes.
I'm sure they have. I bet they have. I bet they have to do tests with planes and stuff that, like, they have to check out whether what would happen if there were 800 phones all sitting in.
But I think, I mean, yeah, they must have done. But I think it's also very theoretical as well, because like with a plane, like with 800 people, you can't take a risk, right?
That's true.
You can't just be like, oh, we've tested it and it's fine. Like, you know, you have to. If there is a slight risk, then you have to be like, we're going to be on the safe side.
Absolutely. You know, it's people's lives, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I thought it was more to do with like what was happening on the ground.
So that's another reason that, you know, when you start looking into why you can't keep your phone on, like especially in the States, apparently though the signals from phones, if you keep it on, that saturates the signal on the ground. So people using phones on the ground who actually need to use them can't, because it clogs up. There's too much traffic.
Is that partly because like domestic flights in the States are flying lower?
That's probably a reason. I'm not sure if that's the reason, but that's one of the reasons that the... I've forgotten who they are.
CAA? No, FAA.
No, that's one of the reasons the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, have said that if everyone used their phones in the sky, that would saturate the signals in the ground. That's a problem. So there's multiple reasons why.
I've also seen some stuff about the social side of it. So this idea that actually when we've got hundreds of people in an enclosed space, that maybe we just want to suppress the amount of people that are like jabbering away on phones or, you know, having things going off all the time.
Yeah, like even on the tube now, when you can get to different stations and then people, so I've had someone, you know, text like nudes next to me. I've had someone, like, honestly, the worst thing. I get aunties, because sometimes when I take the Circle Line, you get aunties leaving voice notes on WhatsApp. And it's like, it's the worst thing. I don't want, oh, why are you doing this? And then they receive voice notes at whenever they get to the next tube station. I'm like, oh, I hate this so much.
You know
this,
they're bringing Wi-Fi on the tube.
I know, and it's going to be the worst because I'm going to get more people sending nudes and sending voice notes.
That's never a bad thing in my books.
It really is. All right, I need to see some guy's hairy penis like 8 a.m.
It's beautiful in some way.
I keep hearing more and more people like, ending up with people next to them watching porn on the tube as well, which is just not on.
Yeah, so I don't really want that on the plane. Cruising altitude for lots of planes is about 36,000 to 40,000 feet. Mm-hmm. And so the higher a plane flies, the thinner the air is. And so there's less drag on the plane, and therefore less fuel's actually required to get to the same speeds. Mm-hmm. But because there's less oxygen, there's fewer oxygen molecules that can combust with the fuel, so less power is generated. So what you got to do is you've got to hit a sweet spot. Mm. And so when you're in different planes have different sweet spots depending on like the aircraft itself, the weight, the atmospheric conditions, like the flight route, the flight conditions, and aircraft flight duration. So you've got lots of people who work as airline dispatchers, and they like basically do all the checks and balances.
So much maths.
So much maths to okay like the ideal conditions, and to make sure that the plane can actually get from point A to point B. And then that gets okayed by air traffic control, who like route the planes through specific routes, which can then be changed depending on weather. So there's so much to think about, like when you think about planes going up to a cruising altitude and then you being able to get up and go to the loo.
It's nuts, isn't it? Yeah. Like we just get on with stuff. So much else is happening in the background.
Mm. Do you guys ever feel weird on planes?
I feel weird all the time.
No, like, do you get, because like on planes, I feel restless and my legs feel like, I don't know, achy sometimes, yeah. I guess.
Well, that's because the planes do change your physiology a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because like, I know, Sahel, you get properly ill.
I get properly ill, really like, get out of the plane, everyone. It's like that type of ill.
What about you, Hannah?
I really struggle with takeoff and landing, but I'm absolutely fine in the middle, which is actually why I prefer long haul flights, because at least there's, you know, a chunk of time between those two periods of extreme pain.
So I guess there's a lot happening in those different phases, aren't there? Because generally, so as you're taking off, they start to pressurize the cabin.
We talked about this in the previous episode with Anna Pozhaisky,
yes.
Where she was talking about planes that could potentially use smart materials and be based on like Leonardo da Vinci's designs and like really be inspired by nature to make a smarter plane. But like the body does some weird things when you're in planes. Like it gets really, really dry. You get different altitudes. What's that lead to?
Yeah, so basically because when you're flying that high, the air's so thin that humans can't physiologically cope above, I think, 10,000 feet above sea level, right? So the cabin is allocated a certain altitude, a cabin altitude. So what that means is that's the amount of pressure that's equivalent to sea level pressure, basically, right? So in the cabin, even though we're at 35,000 feet, the cabin pressure is around 8,000 to 6,000 feet, I think.
Mm. Okay.
So that depends. So obviously the higher you go, the worse you're going to feel because it's more unnatural because you're further away from sea level.
That makes sense.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of plane manufacturers do research into this to actually get the right conditions in a cabin. And they also, the more recent advancements in making planes, what they do is they use these composite materials. In the future they're going to start using more and more of this material called carbon fiber reinforced polymer, which is basically a very light fiber-reinforced plastic, which contains carbon fibers, right? That means that they can make the body of the plane a lot stronger, which means that they can play around with the cabin pressure, basically.
Okay.
So the inside pressure of the cabin can be brought down slightly, which means that your body will not be straining as much to cope with the amount of artificial conditions that the plane puts you under.
Because the plane is a lot stronger, it means that the difference between the outside pressure and the inside pressure can be a lot different.
Yes.
So it can take that. Like one of those things that goes right to the bottom of the ocean. Where you when they were looking for the Titanic and stuff, that was made out of super strong stuff. And it was okay because all it had to do was drop to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
It didn't have to fly. Cool. So but when we're on the plane and stuff, do you guys actually eat plane food?
I actually really like plane food.
Right. We're going to discount everything Hannah says. So, hell, do you actually like plane food?
I like all food equally without prejudice.
Because on the planes, our taste buds, they don't work properly.
Yeah, this is true. I've heard of this.
Yeah, again, it's to do with cabin pressure because the plane is such a... Because it's so dehydrating being inside the plane, right? And this is, again, to do with the cabin pressure as well as the fact that the air that is circulating around is just repeatedly filtered. So it's a very dry air that you have inside the cabin. That then dries out sort of your nasal passages, and this affects the way you can taste, right? Mm. And so that's why a lot of people experience this awful taste when they taste food on the plane. And allegedly, this is compensated for. There's a lot of science that goes into the food prep of plane food so that they can enhance flavors. And also typically a lot of airlines will serve quite flavorsome food.
Mm. To make up for the fact that it doesn't actually have flavor.
Right, yeah.
So okay. What if you eat that food on the ground and is it going to be really
very strange? Good question. I've never tried.
We're going to try that. We're going to go on eBay and we're going to find the people who cater for
can
planes.
Can I have your three-week-old sandwich, please?
I also might have just explained why I like plain food.
Because
my entire basically nasal system doesn't really function properly anyway. So
for people who are new to this podcast, Hannah has a body that doesn't think she should survive. Her brain and her body are at constant war.
So basically the entire system in your head that is meant to account for changes in pressure doesn't really work in me. So
you're basically allergic to flying as well.
I'm allergic to everything. We've established.
It's like that scene in The Simpsons where Mr. Burns has all the diseases and he pushes them through the door. It's like, oh, and this is what your body's like. So I'm invincible? Invincible. No. A slight breeze could... Invincible.
I hear what I want to hear.
How do you sleep on planes? Do you guys sleep on planes?
Yes. Peacefully.
Really?
So again, I think it's varied because I find it really hard to sleep on planes, but it depends on how tired I am as well. Mm-hmm. And you have to account for jet lag. It might be depending on which direction you're flying, if you're flying to the country or from the country.
I once slept through, flying to Ghana, I slept through turbulence over the Sahara so bad that all the luggage started coming out of there. All started coming out of there.
No.
Because there's a flight going to Ghana at a very weird hour. It was just aunties everywhere. Real people. Someone started leading a prayer circle. generally thought that was it. Some guy started, he started praying. Everything went bad. I said, and also there was a guy being deported. And he was three rows in front of me. And so he was cuffed to the chair and the two people next to him. And he was going on a wild one. And so my mom told me about this afterwards. She's like, how did you sleep through that?
I'm actually really jealous that you managed to sleep through that.
I just got a vision of you, things slow-mo, just craziness around you. You're just peacefully sleeping.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, I can sleep through anything.
The plane's going to crash!
So when the plane landed, all right, I don't know if you guys have this, but the applause was monumental. Just very good. Man did his job.
They were applauding your nap, bro. That's what they were doing.
Yeah, okay, so what are planes doing to help people fall asleep?
So planes don't help people fall asleep at all, given the fact that you're at a weird pressure, you're dehydrated, and also engine noise. It's like if you're traveling in on an old make of a plane, it's very loud, or if you're traveling in a small plane, right? So there are things that the newer planes, they are changing to make this better. So, for example, like the newer, those Airbus A380s, they actually, in the design of the body, they do things to dampen the sound in designing that body. So if you're in one of those planes, you don't actually hear the engine noise as much as if you're on a regular sort of old plane. Mm. But also companies like Airbus and Boeing, they're also playing around with the lighting.
Yeah.
Because they've done this research where they put people on two different planes. They were exactly identical planes, but the space and the lighting was different in one. And the people who were on the plane that had better spacing and lighting came off much happier. Mm. And they thought that they had a better flight, the conditions were better, the food, like everything was better for them, yeah, simply because the atmosphere was better in their minds.
I can totally believe that.
Yeah. So this is what these companies are doing now. They're just playing around with the light and the spacing. And specifically, like in the past, you know, they turn the lights off when they think that they want to turn the lights off. You go to sleep, then suddenly the lights will come on and they start serving meals, right? A lot of airlines are now changing that. Mm. They're gradually increasing the lighting as they want people to wake up for mealtime. Then they use like warm tones for mealtime. Mm. And then they also try to match the lighting at the destination countries, to match time zones.
Interesting.
I think that's really interesting. I know there's lots of other things. So there's things apart from blue light. You've got some airlines who are bringing things like sleep pods that can be stored away in the hold and then come up when people want to sleep. And so it saves space, but gives people an actual nice sleeping environment. And so, you know, even bring in like meeting lounges that way. So you're actually hiding office and infrastructure space under there.
Yeah.
So that allows planes to like become modular and change stuff up.
Yeah,
that's dope. Related to who's flying and what people need. Okay, let's say you've got to Portland, you've landed and everything's been great, but then you have to go through the hardest bit of your flight as Osama Ismail, passport control.
Hooray!
Yay, discrimination.
Okay. Okay, so right now, when we've got our e-passports, they have a chip in there, right? Mm-hmm. So that's sort of with the biometric passports. They have a chip.
Yeah.
And you can sometimes scan them.
Yeah.
And that has your face.
So the UK passport, the UK biometric passports in the chip, they store your facial biometrics.
Yeah. So it analyzes all the characteristics of your face like through this digital video camera, and then it measures like your overall facial structure, like distance between your eyes and jaw edges and mouth. Like, you know, if you ever wanted to put your face inside a video game when it makes you like do that, no, just me. Okay.
I've done that.
I've always wanted to see what I'd look like as a football manager. I could have just said football manager, innit? But it does, it has all that data, and then it's compared against you when you stand next to the passport control. So that facial data and, you know, sometimes fingerprint data stored in the passport, and then it gets compared against you, bedraggled, coming off a plane, just like
affected by cabin pressure.
Yep.
It's funny, the first time I actually had to use my biometric passport, I was going through the e-gates and it wouldn't recognize me. I was like, what? This camera is racist. Mm. Like, clearly it's because I'm dark, right? No, I was just wearing my hat and my glasses. And they were like, take off your hat.
It's like, damn it, this discrimination.
Yeah, again. I'm like, quick to jump on the discrimination. No, it's just me, sorry.
That's actually happened to me though. I've been standing in an airport. So we've been skiing, right, with a bunch of my white friends, right? And I was only like ethnic minority, yeah? Everyone goes, I'm the last person going through these e-gates. Everyone goes through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Me last, red. It's like red. It's like waiting. They're behind the guy looking. They're like talking about me between them and shit. 5 minutes later, the door opens. I'm like, thank fuck.
Same thing with e-gates. Do not work for me. Didn't work for me. Didn't work for my girlfriend. And so we had to sort of walk through. And she's like, Alex, I know you think you're funny, but don't make any jokes right now. Okay? We are so close to being back home. We've been flying for like 12, 13 hours at this point with a baby in front of us screaming, and a person next to us who didn't want to get out of their seat. who just every time we wanted to go use the loo, they'd sit up on their seat, like crouch in the fetal position. I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Just get out the way.
Like, they did this in the first 5 minutes, and I was like, oh fuck, this is gonna be a pattern. So she's like, yeah, don't make any fucking jokes.
It's true though. That's the one place you don't want to be making jokes.
You did the right thing.
You're just asking for trouble if you do.
I made so many jokes.
You did the right thing, Alex.
You just ask for trouble.
Okay, so you get through that. You're through there and you get to baggage reclaim. The final bit before you can leave the airport. What's going on there in terms of tech? Because right now, all I know is maybe the plane people take the bag off the plane. They don't have to screen it. You get screened when you're leaving the country. So they just take it and put it on a little gurney thing and you wait.
You wait and
but
wait.
What new things are going to happen?
Actually, I think our suitcases probably have the most interesting journey in airport, right? Mm. Because from the moment you drop it off in check-in, it goes through that little curtain, right? It goes through such a journey. There are some awesome videos online.
So what he's saying is that the next Pixar movie is going to be bags.
Bags.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
The stolen bags.
It's like insane. I could like watch those videos for ages because basically people have done these videos where they attach a camera to the top of the bag. Right. And then, this is like authorized, by the way, and they follow what happens. And you can just see the robotics involved. It's basically miles and miles and miles of conveyor belts, right? All interlinked. And it's all based on, you know, that tag they put on your suitcase.
It's all made.
Yeah. It's a barcode that's unique to your bag and also another barcode that contains all your information about where you're going and who you are.
But there's not a huge amount of technology when it comes to getting it off because it still has to go around that little conveyor belt that we all wait for. And it's the worst thing in the world because you get in a fight with someone else because they happen to go to the same sports direct as you.
It's like, why does everyone have the same fucking bag?
That's why you always put something on your bag to help you, like a big ribbon bow or something.
If you are a discerning type, you could put on a perfectly vinyl circular merch from Why You Adopt Yet. It's a sticker. Yes.
Truth.
And that way, even if there is someone else there with the same sticker, you've made a fantastic friend because you know they have great taste. You can find this in our merch shop.
Just cover the whole bag. Why not adopt stickers?
Yeah, honestly, you could. Yes. I would do a special deal for anyone who wants to cover their entire suitcase and widen your Adopt Yet stickers. So with baggage reclaim, the amount of technology that could potentially go into it is really fascinating. There are some companies around the world which are hoping to make it a bit more personal so that when you arrive somewhere, you have all this data that's attached to you, all this biometric data, all of your boarding data, all your traveling data. Why not just apply it to your baggage? So you could be able to go to your, like a gate and pick up your bag. Like a bag comes, as soon as it comes out, you pick it up. And so that's what some companies around the world are hoping to achieve. And I think that would be like amazing. Don't you guys agree?
What an innovation in travel. Yeah. You're right, it's one of the worst parts of it. And if you could make that better, I think that would be a lot less stress for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess like this, from an airport's point of view, it's in terms of handling a bag, once it's got to destination, that's like presumably less admin for them, right? Because when you check in, because so many people checking in bags and it has to be sent to the right planes, but taking it off the plane and like giving it back, because you don't have to security screen it again, you just have to give it to the person so they can get on with their journey.
Exactly. And then like you get to leave the airport and then you're done. So Oz, with all of this in mind, are you hoping that your flight to Portland is going to be smooth? Are you looking forward to it?
Hey, as a seasoned traveler and now with all this mad knowledge on flying, I think I'm going to have a great time flying to Portland.
Listen, we're all coming with you, bruv.
Yeah. Why not a dog goes to Portland? It's great.
You open up your bag and it's just like sales.
Hi.
Bag covered in Why Not a Dog stickers.
So, guys, we have come to the end of the podcast.
I actually feel that sadness I feel when I come back from holiday. I feel like I've been on holiday on this podcast.
I really want to go on holiday now.
That tells us the difference between how much I enjoy this and how much Hannah's enjoying this right now. That's you guys. You guys did this to her.
We love you, Hannah.
So have you guys learned a lot today? You enjoyed it?
Do you know what? I've learned a lot. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I've loved it.
Yeah. Are you actually going to be able to go to Portland?
Hey, if I don't, We just keep talking.
At least you've got this knowledge.
I've got the knowledge.
Yeah. I've enjoyed it immensely. As always, I've been Alex Lathbridge. I've been joined by Hannah, Sahail, and Oz.
See you later.
Peace out.
Bye.
And this has been Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet? Peace.
So you might be thinking, oh my God, how do I hear more about this amazing podcast that combines humor, entertainment, pop culture, and cutting edge science? Or you might be thinking, oh wow, these guys are geniuses and I have questions only they can answer. Or you might be thinking, oh wow, these guys aren't even real doctors and I know way more about science than them and I want them to know this, so how do I let them know this as quickly as possible?
So what you've got to do for us right now is leave us an iTunes review. I know you hear it everywhere, but it's super important because we want that sweet internet validation. Or you can send us your questions or comments by email. It's at whynotadoc@gmail.com. And if you want to stay up to date with what we're doing, you can go by social media. It's at whynotadoc on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Remember, iTunes review, follow us on social media, annoy us by email. Thanks.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.